Hallo, schön, dass du da bist, hier beim Podcast Happy, Holy and Confident, dein Podcast fürs Herz und den Verstand. Mein Name ist Laura Marlina Seiler und ich freue mich sehr, dass du hier bist. Ich hoffe, es geht dir gut und ich freue mich umso mehr, heute eine Folge mit dir teilen zu können, mit einem sehr guten Freund von mir, dem Autor John Strelecki, der unter anderem das Buch geschrieben hat, Das Café am Rande der Welt, oder The Big Five for Life. Und John hat ein neues Buch geschrieben, das heißt, was ich gelernt habe, was auch ein wunderschönes Buch ist. Und wir haben uns endlich mal wieder zusammengesetzt und beziehungsweise auf Zoom zusammengesetzt und ein Gespräch geführt, was wunderschön geworden ist, über Spiritualität, über Heilung, über Selbsterkenntnis, übers Älterwerden, über all die Fragen, die er sich auch gerade so in seinem Leben stellt. Und unter anderem haben wir darüber gesprochen, wie man so den eigenen Ort der Heilung finden kann und wie man den in sich erschaffen kann. Und John hat ganz viel über den kosmischen Algorithmus des Universums gesprochen und wie wir diesen Algorithmus, wenn wir den einmal für uns verstanden haben, wie wir den für uns nutzen können. Wir haben darüber gesprochen, wie wir uns selbst die richtigen Fragen stellen und wo wir dann auch die Antworten auf diese Fragen finden. Und ich wünsche dir so viel Freude mit diesem Interview. Es ist wirklich ein ganz herzliches, inspirierendes, transformierendes Gespräch. Und John ist einfach immer wieder, ja, es macht einfach immer wieder so viel Spaß, mit ihm zu sprechen. Und ich glaube, es ist so ein richtiges Interview für die Seele. Also viel, viel Spaß damit. Und das Interview ist auf Englisch. Wie immer findest du die Übersetzung bei mir in den Untertiteln auf dem Blog oder auf meinem YouTube-Kanal. Und ansonsten ist er aber auch extrem gut zu verstehen, auch auf Englisch. Und ich wünsche dir viel Spaß dabei und ich freue mich natürlich auch wie immer, wenn du mir auf Instagram @LauraMarlinaSeiler deine Gedanken zu der Folge dalässt. Was hat es in dir bewegt? Was hast du für dich gefühlt, gehört? Und ja, ansonsten, Freunde der Sonne, ist seit kurzem die Anmeldung für die Rise Up and Shine Uni geöffnet. Das heißt, du kannst dich jetzt anmelden für die Rise Up and Shine Uni. Das ist mein intensivstes Online-Training-Programm, das 10 Wochen lang stattfindet ab Januar und was tief transformierend ist, wo du meine besten Coaching-Tools, wundervolle Meditationen von mir bekommst, ganz viel Bonusmaterial, wo es 10 Live-Q&A-Sessions mit mir gibt, wo du deine Fragen stellen kannst, wo wir Special Guests dabei haben. Und die Rise Up and Shine Uni ist wirklich, ja, ein Wunder. Anders kann ich es gar nicht sagen. Ein Portal zur inneren Welt. Und ich freue mich, wenn du dabei bist. Du kannst dich jetzt anmelden. Den Link findest du in den Shownotes natürlich. Und gleichzeitig gibt es jetzt endlich meine eigene App, die Higher Self App, die du dir jetzt kostenlos runterladen kannst, wo du die RUSU, also die Rise Up and Shine Uni, zum Beispiel drin machen kannst, wo es das Higher Self Home drin geben wird, aber wo es auch alle meine Meditationen drin gibt. Die App ist kostenlos in der Nutzung. Es gibt eine Premium-Version, wo du sozusagen Zusatz-Content noch dazu nutzen kannst, wie Masterclasses und Voice-Nachrichten von mir und all solche wundervollen Sachen. Also schau dir die App einfach an. Den Link dazu findest du natürlich auch in den Shownotes. Viel, viel Freude mit der App. Und ja, ich wünsche dir jetzt viel Spaß mit dem Interview. Fühl dich von Herzen umarmt. Schön, dass es dich gibt. Und ich freue mich, wenn wir uns in der Rise Up and Shine Uni sehen. Deine Laura.
I am so grateful to have my wonderful friend and colleague, John Strelecki, in the podcast today again. Thank you so much for being here. And I'm looking very much forward to our conversation.
Thank you. It's a joy to be back. It's great to see you. And I love our conversations. So I can't wait to spend time today.
Me too. For everyone not watching, but only listening. So I see you right now sitting im Café am Rande der Welt, which looks beautiful. And can you tell me a little bit? Because I think the last time we talked, you told me that your dream or vision is also to have the cafe one day sort of in reality. So did something like that happen?
Well, it's a work in progress. So through the power of technology, I was able to describe it to someone who is a designer, and they could create something. I do calls and interview the rest of that I can be in the cafe. And I'm on a little bit of a bender recently. And by that, I mean, like, I have this passion for helping people experience the cafe in other aspects of their lives, because I get these amazing emails from our podcast together, our interviews that we do, people who read the books, and they talk about what the experience in the cafe means to them. And I know this on a heart level for myself. I was just going through the process of editing something, and I came across a line in the second cafe book, and the character Jessica is talking about how lost she feels. And Casey is interacting with her, and she's talking about the cafe, and she says, "This is the place people come to be found. This is the place lost people come to be found," is the line. And when I read that line, I get chills. I still get chills up and down my spine, because that is what the cafe means to me. It is this place where we can go to find the answers that we've been seeking. And I know I find them every time I go back and I read stuff, especially Casey. Casey is just like this, like, incredible piece of wisdom comes from her all the time.
It's beautiful. Is there a question, or has there been a moment in the last year since we've talked the last time where you felt lost, or where you had a question and not yet the answer?
I would say the entire third cafe book is entirely based on me being lost. I turned 51 this year, and the experience of going from 48 to 50 and then 51 was a very challenging time for me. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think that as we go through life and we go through different phases, the questions that we thought we had the answers to may feel a little bit different, and maybe we go back to those same questions again. And so for me, I had struggled for probably 2 to 3 years with this issue of getting older and what it meant to me and why I was feeling this pain. And honestly, Laura, it was only in going back to the cafe and writing that book that I found the answers that I couldn't seem to find anywhere else. And so for me, the cafe, on a very personal level, is a very magical place.
That's beautiful. There are two things I would like to talk about. So the one thing is, what is it for you exactly when you say to go back to the cafe? So where do you go? Is it a mental place? Is it also for you an actual place? You like, what feels for you like the cafe? Where do you go?
Yeah, it's more of a mental activity than anything else, but mm-hmm. it is. And I can say that normally when I'm in the process of writing, so when I wrote the third cafe book, it was actually sitting down and writing the dialogue. But when I do that, I am physically there. I am in that space. I am seeing everything around me, just like you're seeing it on our screen today. But I see it. I can experience it on a deep, deep level that I'm really there. So much so that the rest of the world sort of dissolves behind me. I lose myself in that experience and have to sort of zone pop back out to wherever I physically am. And so I love that about the cafe. And knowing that, it enables me to enter that space, not just when I'm writing, but anytime that I want. And I think that's available to every single person. And that's something that's great to remember, right? To be able to tap into whatever that energy is.
That's beautiful. I have the same, like I do this with Maui. So I have like this place for me in Maui. There's like this certain place in the nature where I am like there. And I can tap in that just in my mental space. So I think I really feel what you're saying. And I think this is already one thing that everyone can take with them, that you can create a place inside of you where you can go to and where you feel safe and where you can get answers and where you are kind of, like for me, I would like to know how it is with you. For me, the Maui place, so I feel like I'm connected to something. So I get different answers than I would give myself in the normal situation, sort of. Is this the same for you as well when you tap into the cafe in your mental, let's call it like a healing place, sort of? Mm-hmm. Do you have the feeling that you can get better, deeper, more honest answers when you are there?
So I love that question, and I love the way that we're going, because to me, this is one of the biggest insights I've had over the last 6 months. It's something that I was, I think, very close to trying to figure out previously to this. It was like sort of tapping me on the shoulder, and I couldn't quite get the essence of it. Here's what I've discovered over the last 6 months, that there is a cosmic algorithm of the universe that is constantly underlying everything that we see, that we experience. And in the same way that there are algorithmic rules that come up when we type something in on Google and it realizes that's what I'm interested in, right? That if you expound that to the universe and realize that there's this cosmic algorithm of the universe that is at play, it opens up an opportunity to do things in life that really nobody had ever taught me. Nobody ever even began to teach me. And one of them is this exact concept that you're talking about. I believe that when you tap into Maui, when I tap into the cafe, we are not actually connecting to our memories. What we are doing is we are directly connecting to the energy associated with that entity. And so for you in Maui, it's not just the physical location, it's the energy of everybody who's been at that location. It's the essence of the teachings that were done there. There is a reason that you picked that exact spot, because Maui is a relatively large island. The Hawaiian chain is relatively large. The world is very large. But for some reason, Laura Molina Seiler picked that exact spot in Maui. And whether that is because your energy has been there in previous physical forms of life, or because somehow your future is tied to that, or your fairy godmother lives there, I don't know, right? But for you, it's this spot in Maui. And for me, it's the cafe. And when I tap into that space, I am tapping into the cosmic algorithm of the universe that says that is a place where I can go to find answers. Mm. I think one of the greatest opportunities for us as individuals is to find where is our place and to allow ourselves to tap into that energy. Because what else I've discovered in the last 6 months is that entry and exit to that destination become easier with practice. And the ability to decode the information that we're receiving from it becomes better with practice. It's almost like gaining fluency. And so the first time you travel to a country where you don't speak the language, maybe you understand less than 1% of 1% of what's being said. But 6 months in, you can become fluent in the language. Mm-hmm. And I firmly believe that's the case here too. Do you feel, have you had that experience when you are going back and forth? Is the channel getting wider? Is your understanding getting better?
Definitely. Definitely. So it's quicker. It's quicker. Yeah. It's also what I've been thinking, what it is for me, maybe it's the same for you, is I relax. Yeah. I go there and I relax. And I think this is very often the biggest problem I have when I'm stressed, when I'm when I'm just like energetically confused, let's say, because I'm not within myself with my energy, right. Then I cannot tap into the information that is the best for me, but I'm in the energy of fear or of controlling things. And then I get that like algorithm, let's say, giving me information. And I think this is so beautiful when I think about it, that I think one of the magic things about those places is you go there, and I also connect to this relaxed feeling I have mm-hmm. there, this total relaxation, knowing everything is well, everything is okay, just relax into the answer and it will come. How is that with you? Is it similar in the cafe?
So when I go back to the cafe, I feel a sense of coming home. Like I actually, just even saying those words to you, I feel a sense of coming home. I feel my eyes tear up and I feel like this connection, like I cannot describe accurately. It's exactly where I'm supposed to be. And so I think one of the reasons for that is because when we discover this thing, not only are we tapping into the cosmic algorithm of the universe in terms of the information that resides in that location, but the way I visualize it is that that is actually the connection point to the entire universe, but that is the place where I get my answers. And so I can probably, not I just personally, but we can tap into the information and the energies from anywhere in the universe. But if we go to that place and that's where we do the work, it's almost like amplified 1,000 times, and our ability to understand it is significantly better because we understand the way it's talking to us if we go there.
It's beautiful. How, like, for everyone listening right now and just going like, John, Laura, what are you talking about? what would you say are the first steps to create for yourself a place like this?
I would say that it is just realizing where you have these moments of peace and connection. And like I said, the cafe is it for me. And in interacting with fans, I've found that the cafe is also it for other people. So maybe the reason that I had this stream of conscious typing experience that lasted 21 days when the cafe first flowed through me is because I was being asked to fulfill a part of my role in the human experience, which is to open up a portal, to open up a destination. And it was going to take the form of this cool little cafe. And I would get to be the curator of the cafe during my time here on the planet. And it's so much bigger than me. And I get to be the curator for it. And I get to invite people to it. And we all get to collaborate and share our wisdom. And this becomes a place where people can go. And that is, so I'm not saying that the cafe is it for everyone, like you were describing Maui for you, but it's one of the possible places to go. And my guess is that if we had the chance to hang out and spend some time in this location in Maui, not just me, but like if you took a bunch of people there, you wouldn't be, don't be surprised if that location is also another portal for not just you, but for other people as well. And so I think allowing ourselves, to answer your question, to allow ourselves to say, well, where do I feel that connection? Is it a story? Is it a movie? Is it a setting that I saw in a movie or read about in a book? You know, maybe it's, I don't know, Tuscany in Italy. You read a book about that and you just feel like, whoa, I don't know why, but I feel home when I'm there. And when you are feeling that stress and you lay down at night and you picture Tuscany, it just makes you feel good and you get your answers there. Awesome. So allowing yourself to ask the question, where do I feel that connection? Even if it's just on a micro intuitive sense, like you can't even put more to it than that, then that's a great place to start because maybe that's where your fluency is going to begin.
It's so beautiful. I love this picture of the portal you created. I love this. And the a question that popped up in my mind for everyone looking for this place is to ask yourself, where does my soul feel at home? Mm-hmm. Like where is my soul like? Oh, like here I can relax sort of. So maybe that could be also a hint to find that place for yourself. It's beautiful. I love this.
And, so, and if I could throw a little bit of patting on the back, you had the courage in your life to say, I was born in one place on the planet and I feel called to go to this other place. And you did it. I think for so much of my life, I knew that I was born and raised in a certain part of the world, and I viewed my identity associated with that. Mm-hmm. And one of the big ahas that I've had in life is you don't choose where you're born, but you do choose where you stay. Yeah. And you don't choose who you're born to, but you do choose who you stay around. And to allow ourselves to say, just because I was born here in this environment to these people, doesn't mean that that needs to be my future. It can be if you love that and that really makes you feel connected and fulfilled and happy. Awesome. But if it doesn't, allow yourself to see your presence on the planet as a human being or even as an entity that is part of something so much bigger, and you are welcome anywhere you want to go.
It's amazing. I love this. Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Okay. So, I'm a little bit, there are two ways I want to go. So the first way I will go is back to the first question I asked you, because I want to wrap that up, because I think you said something which is really interesting also for many people listening, because I have a lot of listeners who are younger than me, but I also have listeners who are your age. And I think that in our society, there is somehow this context about age that it is something you don't want to go, sort of. Yeah, that it should be always the aim to be young and even younger, for women maybe even more than for men. Right. And I think this is like absolutely not true, because I think that I'm looking forward to get old, because I'm looking forward to be myself when I'm old, because then I know so many things and it will be so much easier. So I am actually looking forward to it. And you said that for you, between being 48 and then the 3 years until turning 51 this year, that it has been for you also a challenge to get older. And so just to wrap that up, how what is your position now towards age?
Yeah, so what was really fascinating in going through this experience that I mentioned a little bit earlier, writing the cafe. So I couldn't find my answers. I was really struggling with this. And it was very much of an internal struggle. So the way in which I interacted with my daughter was still the same. But it was very much of an internal struggle for me. And the answers that I found in going back and writing the third cafe book were the following. It doesn't matter that I'm frustrated with getting older. It doesn't matter that I'm frustrated with the fact that I have to wear reading glasses instead of just being able to look at my phone or look at the dialogue. I'm still going to get older. And so there's this character in the third cafe book called Max, and Max is in his late 70s, and he's got this like unabashed, I'm going to call it like it is, perspective on life. And he basically says to me, the character of John, he says, tell me something you enjoy. And I said, I like going to the movies. He says, all right, how many times do you go to the movies? And you do the quick math. And he's like, all right, you got about 300 movies left that you're going to see at the movie theater. And he's like, tell me something else you like. Christmas. All right. You got about 28 Christmases left. And it was in the process of writing that I realized, yeah, like I can sit and be frustrated with the fact that these things are changing and I can't do some of the things I want to be able to do in the same way. But every minute I spend on that frustration is a minute that I'm missing living life right now. And if I miss that, then I'm going to get to be 72 or 71 and lamenting the fact that I wasn't doing the things that I wanted to be doing when I was 51. So it was just a tremendous takeaway that, no, it's maybe not as perfect as you wish it were, but you know what? Step up, put your big boy pants on and start really enjoying the moment that you have now, or you're going to be wishing you had enjoyed that moment sometime in the future. Yeah. So I owe it all to Max. Whoever Max's energy in the cafe was a real game changer for me.
That's beautiful. I really like that. Thank you for the answer, because I think that helps many people to, I mean, it's happening to everyone. It's not that anyone really gets younger, at least. I mean, I think it's also a lot of perspective, because I think that if you really put yourself on the position or in the perspective that you can grow younger inside of yourself. So I think it's also a lot of mindset you can do there. And you always feel the way you feel from your age. And I think it's also, you can do a lot with your mindset about age, I think.
Absolutely. And yeah. I will say that, so there's, you know, maintaining a state of gratitude about what you have. And so What was interesting as I was going through these 3 years is, because I live and breathe in this space and do my very best to emulate it, I would be aware of those things and I would put myself in a state of gratitude. Yes, I mean, think of how many people, you know, have much more struggles than I have, either physically or health-wise or whatever. And even with all of that, I was still feeling these things at times. And I think maybe this is part of the human algorithm experience also, because what's happening is I was watching and still am watching my parents get very old. And there's an awareness that you're the next generation. So, you know, you are the next one to be old. But I think the reason that we have this as part of the algorithm is because it's a wake-up call. It's like, you know, when you're a younger person and you're entering your 13, 14, 15, and you start to realize like, okay, you could like have a baby now, like you're entering the phase of life where you're potentially ready to do something else. And so physically and mentally, we get these cues that are hardwired into us that says you're transitioning to something. And I think what happens as I try and assess it and analyze it is, as we are going through this period of late 40s, early 50s, we are transitioning, and it is sending us a signal that says, listen, if you're not paying attention yet, this game is not going to go on forever for you. And so now is the time to really step back and reflect and be grateful for what you have, and to map out the destinations and journeys and adventures that you want to go on, because the clock is ticking. And quite honestly, the clock is accelerating. And so I think maybe that's part of the way this works, that at these different phases, we get little wonderful taps on the shoulders and a little hug from behind that says, a little whisper in the ear that says, here's something to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. I also think, I mean, it's not often that I think about it, but sometimes when I reflect on death and birth, I think both are such gifts. Both somehow gift us life. Like the birth, really, in the sense of gifting us the moment, the first breath and starting to live. And the death also gives us gift of life by realizing how precious it is, because it will come to an end. So both are sort of life givers in a polar, is that an English word? I don't know, but like on the opposite side. And so I think this is something where we don't have to be afraid of, but to just be grateful, because we get remembered on how amazing and beautiful it is to be here. Yeah,
I think you're right. And I think in the time, earlier times in humanity, where you had multi-generations interacting so frequently together, yeah, there's your own family and your own grandparents, or whether it was just people in your community, that you had a hyper awareness, not in a bad way, but a hyper always present awareness of the aging process. Yeah. And now society has shifted to single families living together. You sort of lose that connection to what does it look like for one generation beyond your own, or two or three generations beyond your own.
Yeah. You talked about the algorithm that lies below everything, and that is sort of like, I see it like this energy flow that is like within everything, and you can tap into it. And I have made the experience that life, the quality of the life you live, is very much dependent on the quality of the questions you ask. Mm-hmm. So what would you say are good questions you can ask when you tap into this algorithm? Or like, let's say, I mean, I think it was a cool example when you see this, it's like Google. I mean, and depending on what you write into Google, you will get an answer. So, and it's you can also tap into the Google version, sort of. And what would you say were good questions you ask yourself in your life? And what are good questions in general you can ask to tap into your own potential or into a positive perspective?
Interesting. So I think in addition to the wording of the question, I think it's also the intention and the phrasing behind the question. So the emotion you attach to it. And I'll give you a perfect example of that and the way in which the algorithm of the universe was at play as this was coming to be. And so I learned probably maybe 3, 4, 5 years ago that one of the significant shifts for me was asking the question, why is this happening? But asking it in a different way. So when negative things would happen in my life, when I was younger especially, I found it very hard to accept, because I do my best to be a good person, to do good things for other people. And so despite that, negative things would happen, and I would find myself very frustrated and sometimes very angry and ask, why is this happening to me? Like, it was very unfair, and I didn't like it, and I thought it was completely unacceptable and especially unfair. And so I've learned to ask that question, but to ask it with a different tonality and a different intention. And so now when something is happening different than I expect it to, I do my very best to ask the question, huh, I wonder why this is happening.
Wow, I love this.
And let me give you an example of this in a way that it played out, because I don't think we've talked about this story, but this to me is one of the highlights of the way in which the algorithm is at our disposal. And so I had written the third cafe book and it was done. And I had sent it off to my editors around the world and it was done. But I had this idea for the book that there was going to be a letter from my godfather back to me in the book somewhere. And I could never quite find a place during the writing process to figure out where it was going to go. And so I didn't include it. And so I'd sent it off to the editors. I hadn't looked at the file. I hadn't looked at the book. I hadn't looked at the project in 4 months. And I was in China on a trip and I was sick. I had jet lag. I was sitting in there in this room that I didn't like. And it was a family member's place. And I felt uncomfortable. And you're talking about how you feel when you're in Hawaii in that particular spot and how good it feels. This was the exact opposite of that. I felt out of place. I was uncomfortable. I was sick. And I was laying in my bed. It was 4 a.m. with jet lag. And I just felt frustrated. But because like I said, I'm trying to remember these connection points to the algorithm of the universe. And so in that moment, I thought to myself, why don't you ask the question in a good way? And so I laid in on this bed and I asked myself, huh, So why is this happening to me? Laura, in a second, like a second, what instantly flashed through my mind was this concept of this letter. And I laid in there and I sat in that space for a minute and it started to write itself in my head, this letter did. And so I grabbed the notebook and I started to write some things down. And the next day I woke up, finally went to bed. The next day I woke up and I had a train ride that I was going on. And on the train ride, I thought, I'm going to try and write this letter. And so I write this letter and I get done with it. And my struggle had always been like, how do I integrate it into the story? And so I look at the story and it's like all of a sudden I'm looking at a totally different, I'm either looking with different eyes or I'm looking at a different story because it's so obvious as I'm looking at it now, how this is going to integrate into the story. And so I integrate it all. I have actually high-speed internet access while I'm on this train. I send an email to my editor and I say, hey, I know this is going to sound crazy, but, and I sort of explain the whole story and here's the new file. And I said, I know that you're probably already printing books. She sends me back a message almost instantly that says, you're not going to believe this, but this morning I authorized us to start printing books, but I got your email. I told them, stop right now. We're going to wait on this. The translator happens to be in my office today for something completely unrelated. She says she's got time. She'll work on it and we'll get this in the very first editions of the book. I mean, you couldn't write this in a movie script, right? This is just... Sometimes you are in a position where you're asked to be part of something so much bigger than yourself. And when I asked that question, I mean, I could have taken that night so many different ways based on where I've been at different places in my life. But thank goodness I had learned this cosmic algorithm of the universe question, which is, wonder why this is happening. And when I asked that question, it opened up a whole unbelievable diorama of opportunities. And I will tell you, in the year plus since that book has been released, the letter is the thing that people most come back to me and say, like, this just brought me to tears when I read that letter. So that to me is the opportunity that we have in life, is to ask these types of questions. So that's an example of it. Mm-hmm. Another one, in the very first cafe book, John discovers the very first question, why am I here? And so depending on where you're at in your life story, if you're trying to figure out your genius and the way in which you're going to release your genius into the world, asking that question, why am I here? Not asking the question, do I have a purpose? Yes, you absolutely have a purpose. So ask the question, why am I here? What is my purpose? And just see what comes up from the cosmic algorithm of the universe. And at the start, if depending on your fluency, you may just get images or colors or symbols or something that you can't quite understand. That's okay. Another huge aha that I had in my life, and we may have talked about this before. Every genius, every expert starts off knowing nothing about what they became an expert in. Everybody who's ever won a Nobel Prize for contributing tremendously to the history of the planet started off one day. They didn't know anything about that topic. Nothing. Zero. Absolutely zilch. And so it doesn't matter if your current connection to the cosmic algorithm of the universe is just beginning, because you can become fluent. And so if you're getting these messages and it's in the form of a color or something else, that's okay. Grow your fluency, allow it to happen, and you'll get exactly where you want to go.
I love this. Thank you for sharing. One thing that I understood while you were talking is, the difference, I think, in equality between the questions is when people usually ask, why did that happen? It's like the German word is Vorwurf. What's the English word for it? So that you are, yeah, it's you blame. Mm-hmm. So you're blaming. You blame life or something. So you go into the energy of being a victim, of being... Yeah, of giving the responsibility to something or someone else than yourself. And yeah. I love about the question, like, interesting, like, why is this I'm wondering, why is this happening? The beautiful thing about this is you open up for guidance. And I think this is such a difference, of course, than in the quality of the answer, because you tap into a totally different stream of information that you open up to. And I think that was so beautiful that I just understood it like inside of myself that, of course, the one thing is you ask for guidance and the other thing is you ask for blaming someone and that has a totally different energy. Yeah.
And I don't want to minimize the situation that someone might be in life. You know, someone might be listening to this and they're dealing with a major illness or they're dealing with something hugely significant for their life. And I'm not saying that I'm not saying those are fluff moments or easy to deal with moments or anything like that. I don't want to minimize it. What I'm saying is that perhaps if you're someone who's dealing with that, that when you come out of that and you've recovered, that you're going to either have a conversation that will change someone's life because you went through that experience, or you might be the person who, having gone through that experience, ends up finding the cure for that. I don't know, but I know from my experiences in my own life and personally that operating from the place of blame just got me nowhere. And from the place of victimhood got me nowhere. If I operate from the place of curiosity and connection, there's a chance I can turn whatever it is that's feeling very negative in my life into, so there's at least a chance that I can turn it into something positive.
Yeah. And I also think, I mean, I'm pretty sure you made the same experience, especially from the story you told me, there will always be an answer.
Yeah.
This, I think, is so interesting. It's never that there is silence. Something will come.
Yeah.
And there was what you said. Maybe it's a symbol. Maybe it's a picture. Maybe it's a word. Maybe it's a sentence. Maybe it's a story or a letter. But something will come. And to receive this then and be with it and to let it grow, I think this is also something really beautiful. What I love about this, to just be open and receive then the answer that will come when you open up for guidance. Yeah.
And I would say, don't doubt yourself in this regard. Like, I'll tell you another very short but related story as it relates to the cosmic algorithm of the universe and trusting these questions when you ask them. So my mom had a major heart issue, and so she was going to go in for heart surgery. And the process she was going to go through is they literally stop your heart and then they restart it. And they're only allowed to do this procedure 3 times. And so the issue was her heart was on an irregular heartbeat, and so she wasn't able to breathe 100% the way that everybody else on the planet breathes who's got a healthy heart. And so she went in for this procedure, and they stopped her heart, and they restarted the heart, and it didn't work. The rhythm was the old rhythm. And so they did it again, and it didn't work. And I was in the hospital, and I was visiting her, and they were going to let her go home and then come back and do it the 3rd time. And I said, Mom, how long have you had this? And she said, I think I've had this my whole life. She said, I remember as a little kid trying to climb a hill and be like, and just could not catch her breath. And I had this sudden flash come to me, which was, and what came to me was actually a computer. It was the image of a computer, which made no sense in the context of the discussion I was having with my mom. But I asked, and I sort of asked in that same way we're talking about, of asking the cosmic algorithm of the universe. I think I asked the question, what does that mean? And I saw this, I suddenly had this awareness that if you take a computer that's got an issue and you load more software on top of it, the issue never goes away. You're just piling on more stuff on top of the problem. And when my mom had told me that I've had this my whole life, suddenly, Laura, I had this flash of insight that said, you are trying to ask your computer to reboot and show you something new, but nothing really has changed. And so I went to a professional musician and I said, can you do me a favor and record a healthy heartbeat? And they said, yeah, totally. So I had a healthy heartbeat recorded and I put it on an iPhone and I took it to my mom's house and I said, Mom, every day for an hour, I want you to listen to this in your earphones, right? And I said, and the last thing I want you to listen to before you go into surgery the 3rd time, for a half an hour, I want you to listen to this healthy heartbeat. And so she did this and they put her under. They turn off her heart, they restart it. And when they restarted it, Laura, which rhythm do you think it found?
From the healthy heartbeat, yeah.
Healthy heart, yeah. Now, I've never gone to medical school. I don't know anything about this, but it was my mom and I love her and I wanted to help her. And somehow, some way in that moment, the cosmic algorithm of the universe opened up the channel and said, oh, this is what you're looking for? Here you go. Even though I didn't have all the training, all of the sort of credentials to justify that. And I think that's what's available to all of us all the time.
That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing. Thank you. I have So many more questions, but I will try to focus. I mean, we will have so many more conversations, but the one question I have, because you mentioned when you wrote the first Café am Rande der Welt, you said that you wrote it in 21 days and you sort of channeled it. So it just flew, it just went through you and you typed it down. So can you maybe take us back to the moment this started? What was that strain for you to hear this? And how did you react to it? And were you like, stop it? Or did you go, okay, let's type it? How was that for you?
So luckily, I had just come back from a major endeavor, a major adventure in backpacking around the world for a year. And one of the things that I discovered through that experience, especially when I look back retroactively, is when you... So I had wanted to travel the world since I was a little boy, and I wanted to see Africa. I wanted to see the animals. I wanted to meet interesting people and experience other cultures. And doing that opened up this channel. It increased my fluency, to continue to use the wording and the examples we've been using. So it increased my fluency a lot in terms of my connection to something much bigger than myself. And my intuition was at a very heightened point. And I had much more self-confidence, because when you're out there traveling the world and you have to deal with things that before made you nervous and therefore you found workarounds to not deal with them, but then you have to deal with them and you realize it's not as big of a deal and you grow your self-confidence, that when something comes at you that you can't quite understand, you're able to approach it in a more like, well, I don't know, we'll give it a shot. We'll see what happens, right? And so when something inside of me said, sit down and type, I sat down and typed. I didn't judge it. I didn't evaluate it. I just sat down and typed. And the very first person ever to read the completed manuscript actually said to me, your book has changed my life. And so this was incredibly validating. And the whole story behind that is very bizarre and somewhat long, so I won't tell the whole story. But I think the other thing that happens is that as part of the cosmic algorithm of the universe, when you are moving in the direction that you want your life to go, and you're fulfilling the purpose that you have identified for yourself, you will get moments of validation. And it's important in those moments of validation to allow yourself to say thank you, to not judge the moment, to not question whether you're good enough, to simply say thank you and embrace that and feel it and then continue to move in that direction.
Thank you for sharing. There's one question that I started to ask in the podcast every one of my guests, because one of my visions, of my life visions, is to really bring spirituality into the mainstream area so that it becomes the most normal thing people spend their time with, sort of. So what I figured out is that for many people, they cannot really... They don't know what spirituality is or how they like. Yeah, it's so unknown sort of for them. So what is spirituality for you? Like if you would have to describe it, what is spirituality to you and for you?
I would say, continuing to use again that sort of same verbiage that we've been using, I would say spirituality to me is this algorithm of the universe, the cosmic algorithm of the universe. It is everything that has ever been. It is everything that potentially can be, not just for our individual lives, not just for this planet, but literally everything that is out there. And we have no issues typing on our phone a question on Google and getting an answer. And we don't even think about it. And yet, if you ask 1,000 people, can you tell me exactly what's happening and why that works? I can pretty much get, including myself, by the way, I can pretty much guarantee that nobody really knows out of 1,000 people. Now, I'm sure there are some people on the planet who can tell me exactly what's happening, but very few. And I believe spirituality is our willingness and opportunity to tap into this for the, and part of that is to allow ourselves to ask the question, why am I here? I mean, if you think about it, think of the randomness of that. You get 28,900 days statistically to be on the planet. So the question is, what are you going to do with it while you're here? And yet the vast majority of us go through our lives and nobody ever asks us that question. We're never taught to ask that question. We're never taught to tap into the algorithm of the universe information in the same way that we're taught to type on Google. Why? I don't know, maybe it's part of the journey. Maybe it's part of us having to discover that for ourselves. But to me, spirituality is the opportunity to live my life at the fullest possible potential, to fulfill my purpose on the planet by allowing myself to tap into all of this. And by the way, the algorithm of the universe isn't just the underlying. So it's the underlying, but it's also you and I. You and I in a conversation can change each other's lives if we're willing to ask the interesting questions and hear what someone else's wisdom is bringing forth from them. So it's not just that we're dealing with the underlying, it's also the people around us, the environment, animals, everything. But to me, spirituality is all of that. And the question is, what is our place within that? And at least at the starter level, Laura, I think our place in that is to lend our genius to the collective. Now, if we do that, I can't tell you exactly what's going to happen, but I couldn't tell you on the day that something inside of me said, sit down and type. I could have never told you on that day what I thought was going to be the results 5 years later. I could have never told you that that little thing would become a book and that little book would be in 42 languages and it would inspire people. I never could have described that. I never even could have envisioned that at that moment. But what I've learned is that if we allow ourselves to believe that we are here for a purpose, that we have genius to offer, and that there are tools at our disposal, like the cosmic algorithm of the universe, that is spirituality. It's the chance to play amongst all of that in this beautiful playground that we have been given in this opportunity that we have.
Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you. And so you just released your new book here in Germany, at least. I don't know for how long it's already released in the States, but here it's released, I think, since 2 months, probably.
Yeah, it came out September 18th, I think,
So it's called in German, Was ich gelernt habe, what I've learned in English. And what if you... I mean, probably it's difficult to say, but what would for you be the quintessence, I don't know, is that an English word? I just make it up. from the book, like what are the main things you would say you have learned until now?
Yes. Yeah, so the idea behind the book was when I read a story like the Cafe books or the Big Five for Life, it's an opportunity for me to share ideas and concepts through the context of a story. And I personally love stories. That's one of the ways that I learn best. There are times, though, when something hits me, something powerful, like a lot of the stuff we've been talking about today so far, where it's not necessarily something I can see the way in which it ties into the story, or it's something that I feel I want to share even without needing to have a story framework, that I just want to share it. Because sometimes what we have is just a minute or two in our lives and the ability to look at just 3 or 4 pages in a book and still get something very powerful. So that was the genesis of the idea. And the other genesis aspect of it was that I don't think that the world is desperately waiting to hear what John Strelecki has learned. I do think that we all have things that we've learned. And part of what we've been talking about is tapping into that. In order for us to tap into it, I think there's an opportunity for all of us to think about, wait, what have I learned and who would I like to share that with? And maybe it means you're having a conversation with your kid about something that's really interesting or enlightening that you've learned in your life. Maybe it's a best friend. Maybe it's a grandchild. Maybe it's a complete stranger in a random moment at a cafe. I don't know. But I think the goal of this book is to inspire people to share some of what they've learned. And hopefully by reading through the examples that I give in the book, it will spur some very creative conversations and some very creative sharing amongst everybody who reads it. That's really the goal.
Nice. And at the end of the podcast, I have this one question. I mean, you answered it before, but I'm curious what your answers are going to be now. So I don't even know if you remember the question, but it is, imagine it's the last day of your life. So you live many, 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 many beautiful more years. You have a beautiful life, write more books, and it will be the last day of your life. And I would come to you and I would say, John, there has been a technical problem. Everything is deleted. There's nothing left. But I have a white sheet of paper and a pen. And you can write on this paper 3 wisdoms, things you have learned in your life that you would like to pass on to the world, to other people, if nothing else you've ever said would remain?
So my first intuitive response to that is I would write to my daughter that I love you. Mm-hmm. So I get emotional even thinking about that. Because yes, it would be very important to me to sort of try and leave something that would have a positive impact on as many people as possible. But honestly, the important person I'd want to know that is her. So that would be the first thing that I'd say. As a matter of fact, I would probably use all three lines to write something just to her. So let me think about what I would write to her. So the very first thing would be that I love you. I'm so happy that I got to be your dad. Right. And I think the third one would be, you are special.
Thank you for sharing. That's beautiful.
I suppose anybody who read it, they could apply it to their own lives. And I would hope the message would carry the same, or at least some weight. That would be the person I'd write it to. Yeah.
Thank you. So is there anything you would like to say to everyone listening? Is there something you want them to know? So, of course, your new book is out there in the world now. I read it. It's beautiful. I love it. I love all your books. I think they're so inspiring. And so in German, the title of the book is Was ich gelernt habe. And is there anything else that you would like to share right now? Is there anything in your heart that maybe I haven't asked yet that you would like to say?
So first of all, thank you. It's been a great conversation as always. It's such a treat to interact with you. And I want to say for anybody who, I'm sure all of your fans who are listening already know this, but Laura has this amazing presence about her. You can just get like a voicemail from Laura and you feel the peace and you feel the harmony and you feel the connection in something so simple. It's just a voicemail saying, hey, John, I just wanted to connect and say, how are you? Like, you do an amazing job of being authentically you and in the process inspiring certainly me and I think probably everybody who listens to you that it's a wonderful thing to allow yourself to be you, whatever that is. You know, your version of you is going to be different than me version of me, my version of me, which is going to be different from somebody else's version of themselves. But one of the things that in the last months, as we've been going through this unique situation in the world and people have had a lot of time to reflect, I think it's an awesome time to allow yourself to ask the big questions. Why am I here? Who am I? Right? Am I playing in my playground? And to allow yourself to be the best version of yourself, the most authentic version of yourself, because in the same way that you, Laura, inspire countless people, whether it's just a moment of getting your voicemail and feeling that wonderful energy that you bring to everything that you do, or whether it's something bigger that someone will offer to the world in the form of a book or a movie or a conversation with their kid or whatever, just allow yourself to be the best, most authentic version of yourself. And I think you'll log a lot of happy minutes in life.
Thank you for sharing. And I always really also want to acknowledge you. I was looking so much forward again to have this hour with you, because every time, I don't know, but there's always such a special energy and there, I just love to be connected to you and to listen to you. I love how you tell the stories, how you see the world and how you really opened up this portal for so many people to find this place to get really good answers for your life. And I'm looking forward to any conversations we are going to have in the future. And hopefully next time also when you're in Germany that we can create something together for the people, so that we do like a John and Laura a book evening and you can read from your books and we can have a conversation. I mean, that was planned for this year, so I hope we can do it next year. And I just wish you from the bottom of my heart all the best for you, your family. And I'm excited to our next conversation with your next book, probably.
I hope it's before that. I'll say one thing that since we can't be together on a stage and interacting with audience members and fans of the books and fans of your books and fans of your podcast. I would say one of the things that audience members can feel free to do is to push us a little. And so if you're listening to this podcast and something connected with you and you're thinking to yourself, that's interesting. And you know what else I've been wondering about is, like, send it to Laura, send it to me. And that will push us to be thinking about things that we're not even thinking about yet, which again, I think is part of that whole goal. That's how we all collectively learn, how we all collectively grow. And so while I really don't think the situation will change enough that in the next 6 months, we're going to have a chance to sit on a stage together. So maybe 6 months from now, we'll do another podcast and we'll talk about these questions that people are pushing us to think about. And that'll be a next great version of the time we get to interact together.
I love that. Thank you so much, John. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Ich hoffe, dass dir dieses Interview gerade ein Lächeln auf deine Seele gezaubert hat und dass du ganz viel daraus für dich mitnehmen konntest und dich ganz inspiriert fühlst und mit dir selbst verbunden und vielleicht auch ein paar Antworten auf deine Fragen bekommen hast und dich jetzt auf die Suche machst nach deinem inneren Ort der Heilung. Und natürlich freue ich mich, wenn du mir bei Instagram schreibst, wie es dir jetzt geht, was du aus der Folge für dich mitgenommen hast, was so deine wertvollste Erkenntnis daraus war, ob du vielleicht noch eine Frage hast, und schreib mir da sehr, sehr gerne. Ich freue mich auf jeden Fall, von dir zu hören. Und wie gesagt, ab sofort kannst du dich noch bis zum 28. Dezember anmelden für die Rise Up in Shine Uni. Das ist mein intensivstes Online-Training-Programm, das 10 Wochen geht und wo du all meine besten Tools bekommst, tief transformierende Meditation, ganz viele Erkenntnisse über dich selbst und dich wirklich mit deiner eigenen Schöpferkraft verbinden kannst, mit deiner Fähigkeit verbinden kannst, dein Leben zu manifestieren. Und ich freue mich, wenn wir uns in der Rise Up in Shine Uni sehen. Den Link dazu findest du in den Shownotes. Und ja, wenn es sich für dich richtig anfühlt, melde dich an, sei dabei. Ich freue mich sehr auf dich. Und es gibt jetzt auch meine eigene App, die Higher Self App, die du dir jetzt kostenlos runterladen kannst, wo es ganz viel tollen, kostenlosen Content von mir gibt, ganz viele Meditationen von mir, Online-Trainings und wo es auch Premium-Kurse gibt, die Masterclasses. Also klick dich da einfach mal durch. Und ich freue mich sehr, wenn sie dir gefällt. Ich habe mir mit dieser App einen riesengroßen Herzenswunsch erfüllt, nämlich dieses ganze Thema Spiritualität und Persönlichkeitsentwicklung noch leichter zugänglich zu machen. Und ich glaube, die App ist da ein riesiger Schritt hin. Also ich freue mich, wenn sie dir gefällt. Und ja, fühl dich jetzt einfach von Herzen umarmt. Ich wünsche dir eine schöne Vorweihnachtszeit. Lass es dir gut gehen. Kümmere dich gut um dich selbst. Glaub an dich. Und ja, erinnere dich immer daran, wie wertvoll du bist, wie wichtig du bist. Und dass es für alles eine Antwort gibt und dass die meisten Antworten in uns sind und in unserem Herzen. Pass auf dich auf. Es ist so schön, dass es dich gibt. Rock on und Namaste, deine Laura.